Hello and welcome to the Get Transformed podcast of Transformation Christian Fellowship. We are so excited that you are tuning in, and hope that you would be empowered and transformed by the Word of God.
Numbers chapter 20, you are the rose of Sharon, the fairest of them all. You are everything my heart desires. You are precious, most precious than the lily that grows by the wayside. You are precious, most precious than gold. Verse 1, then the children of Israel, the whole congregation, came into the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and the people stayed in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. Now there was no water for the congregation, so they gathered all together against Moses and Aaron. We're going to be doing some reading, so follow along. And the people contended with Moses and spoke, saying, if only we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. Damn, mean that. And why have you made us come out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It is not a place of grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, nor is there any water to drink. So Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and they fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the rod, you and your brother. Oh my God, Deb, you're here. All right. Never mind. Shout out to Deb, y'all. She's back, ladies and gentlemen. She's back. She was on, she serves in the military. She's back with us. She came back last Sunday. Forgot to shout you out. Take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its fruit. Yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals. Verse 9. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock. And he said to them, hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock? Verse 11. Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the right rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. Verse 12. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. Verse 13 says, and this is our last verse, this was the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel contended with the Lord, and he was hallowed among them. I want to talk to you from the subject this morning, don't strike the rock. Don't strike the rock. Look at someone and say, don't strike the rock. All right, let's get into this particular context of which we're in. Ladies and gentlemen, we're here in Numbers chapter 20. And I hope that you hear what I've been saying. Those of you, the last few Sundays being here, God is kind of pointing us to a particular thing. And I've been kind of preaching prophetically for the season that we're in currently right now. And I want you to, if he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to us. Because in my spirit, I've been sensing there's a level of frustration that those who've been dealing with. And just know that sometimes your frustration comes right before your breakthrough is there. And sometimes the roughest moment is right on the edge before you're about to go in. You know, the toughest thing in a woman's pregnancy is right before the baby's about to come out. You understand that? At that point, it becomes, even while they've been in pain, that what they will say is that's the most painful moment, knowing that there is time to now push it out. All right? And sometimes we can get into that place, understanding that sometimes your most painful moments come right before there is the light on the other end of the tunnel. Amen? And so I'm here to really kind of encourage you today, and I've been trying to encourage lately because sometimes you really need it so you can keep going. Sometimes you have to get encouraged so that you can keep on going. Because if not, you're going to quit and you're going to forfeit what God had intended for you to have. Amen. So I want to kind of work with you. So here we are in Numbers chapter 20, and I want to show you the significance of Numbers chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20 is about to be the end of a cycle for the children of Israel. It starts the beginning of the end of them wandering in the wilderness. That their wandering is coming to an end because they've been in there, because now they find themselves in Kadesh, that they were there 38 years ago. So when you see that, you see they've just been wandering. Why? Because God said that generation would not enter into the promised land. God told them, because you all despised what I was trying to give you, I'm giving it to your children. So now their children have become of age now. They have grown. They've grown to the point where now it's time to move them from wandering to now marching into what is theirs. All right. And so Numbers chapter 20 is the beginning of it. It is the start of what is the transition now into the promised land. And sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, all of us, well, there's different seasons that we go into. And you have to remember that guess what? There's sometimes you'll find yourself in the wilderness. But sometimes we have the mindset to believe that where we are, we're going to always be there. And then sometimes what we do is we make temporary decisions. I mean, we make permanent decisions in a temporary place. You cannot make, let me tell you something, you forfeit a lot of things by trying to make decisions in a season that is only temporary. You have to understand that seasons are always going to remain. As there always will be seed time and harvest, it's always going to be winter, it's always going to be fall. It never stays the same season. It always continues the cycle. And it's the same thing with our lives. We will never find ourselves in the same place. You will only find yourself in the same place only when you make decisions that have caused you or delayed you in the season that you were in because you didn't believe you were coming out of it.
Hey y'all, my name is Boomy, and I would like to invite y'all to go ahead and download our TCF app if you don't already have it. If you do have it, just know we have some new updates coming for you. You'll be able to connect with us, gain access to our exclusive content, see our live experience and sermons. You'll have access to this app in either the Google Play Store or the Apple Store. Don't miss out. And remember, transformation starts here.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're finding ourselves here in this transitional and pivotal moment. And here we have it. The first thing we see in this text is that Miriam dies. A key leader of Israel, Moses' sister, dies. And the scripture does not prolong. It says here, she dies. They move on to the next verse. I said, good Lord, they didn't give her no like. They ain't give her that Marvel, you know, when somebody dies in Marvel movie, you know, they ain't give her none of that. They ain't give her none of that. She dead. She gone. And the next verse. The children of Israel contended against Israel. There's no mourning period for her. Part of that is because that, ladies and gentlemen, she raised up against her brother. So they weren't going to give her no mourning period. God, like, in that part of the thing, God had them right. She dead. Let's move on. Trap the clothes on that unless she gone. Pivotal. But yet, because she raised up against who God had anointed and appointed, she didn't get no mourning period. And so here we go. Moses' dilemma number one. He has grief because of a death. Sometimes in the season, we're faced with grief, trying to figure out what's going on. A loved one dies. It could be suddenly, or it could have been, you know, it was coming, but it still hurts. So one, you got grief. So Moses, ladies and gentlemen, got grief. And then on top of that, go to verse 2 for me, Deb. On top of that, here we go. They're in the wilderness. There is no water. So now you got to deal with a congregation of people who are trying to raise their head up against you. That's it. Your sister just died. You have no time to mourn it because you have an issue. Come on. You have an issue because now the children of Israel are raising up against you and they tell you, listen, why your God bring us out here in this wilderness? we would have been better off back in Egypt with our brethren. And ladies and gentlemen, I would let you know today, many of us say things that ain't even true when we're in a season of needing. You don't mean that. Because the reality, ladies and gentlemen, we like to glorify a past that wasn't meant to be glorified. If it was so good, then why are you here now? Why would God do all this time to deliver you if you were so good in Egypt? Ladies and gentlemen, when we're dealing with different things in our lives, it was better when I was in this. No, you wasn't.
No, it wasn't.
And so we try to glorify the past because we're trying to cope with our present.
That's it.
And you can't go forward if you're still trying to cope over what you think you lost.
That's it.
Look at somebody, say, go forward. Is this making sense so far? We're going somewhere. So, ladies and gentlemen, Moses, number one, grief. Number two, he's dealing with a congregation that's up against him because they're in the wilderness. In the wilderness, ladies and gentlemen, it's dry. There's nothing that grows there. And ladies and gentlemen, we get so stuck in about this, complaining about the wilderness, but you're not meant to stay in a wilderness. Sometimes you have to go through a wilderness because there are things that God is trying to strip away from you. There are certain things in the wilderness that you learn about believing God that you don't learn sometimes on the valley.
That's it.
Sometimes on the mountain, sometimes you have to go through a wilderness. And guess what? You keep on living, you're going to go through a wilderness experience. Where it feels dry and it feels like there's nothing growing. It feels like there's nothing happening. There feels like I'm just at a stagnant place. But if you look at it from that perspective, then you are.
That's it.
But if you look at what God is trying to get through to you in the wilderness.
Yeah.
See, a lot of things that they didn't understand. How in the world that in the wilderness that God was a pillar by a fire by night and a cloud and a shade by day. How is it that you learn that God is able to provide manna from heaven? How do you know those things unless you have to encounter those wilderness experiences? And so, ladies and gentlemen, they find themselves here again in the wilderness. And they're about to make it. Here they go, complaining for the seventh time. Seven is an end. It's a completion. It's an end of a cycle. TCF, you're turning seven in September. It is the end of a cycle. Ladies and gentlemen, what I'm trying to get you through is that sometimes you are complaining about something that's coming to its end. And all you got to do is outlive and outlast the season that you find yourself in. Verse 3, go to verse 3 for us. Here we go. And so this is what happened. They contended against Moses, and they spoke, if we had only died when our brethren died before the Lord. Shut up. Let's go to verse 5. You don't mean that. When you and I say the dumbest things at times. Go to verse 6. I know I've been there. So Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Here's the thing that I admire about Moses, is that Moses said, listen, he knew where to go when he felt the world was against him. What amazes me about the culture we live in with this age of believers is we don't really understand when the psalmist says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. We don't understand when Asaph was looking at the wicked and it seemed like they were prospering and Asaph, but it's not until I got into the sanctuary. The ladies and gentlemen, what I'm trying to get across to you is that you are looking for everyone and anything else other than God to speak to when you find yourself and with the weight of the world being upon your shoulders. And what Moses gives us a good example to is he goes to the one that is able to handle it. So you notice that they go into the door of the tabernacle of meeting because this was not one of the designated times where Aaron the priest could go into the Holy of Holies. And so, ladies and gentlemen, Moses and them were limited in their day. They couldn't just boldly come on their behalf or on their own accord in the holies of holies. No, but thanks be unto God who sent his son, that now he didn't die on the cross. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews that we can boldly come before the throne of God to obtain mercy in our time of need. The reality of the matter is that when you feel that anxiety, when you feel your spirit getting perplexed, when you feel your spirit getting to a place of sinking low, that's when you need to be pressing even harder into the presence of the Lord. In the presence of the Lord, there is joy and there's fullness of joy. Oh my God, and at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. You got to realize it's in his presence. It's in his presence, ladies and gentlemen, where he gives you wisdom. It's in his presence where he can give you clarity for the season you're in. It's in his presence where he can give you the language that you needed in order for you to keep persevering. It is in the presence of God. In the presence of God, there is liberty. There is freedom. When you're in the presence of God, you better realize that if you don't get into his presence, you're missing out on what you can obtain. You trying to seek wisdom from everything else? Why don't you go to the one who's all wise, to the only wise God?
All right.
You have to realize, ladies and gentlemen, that this is a different, you people running away from God. You need to run to him. The Bible says, if you draw near unto me, I'll draw near unto you. That means that you don't serve a God that just sits on his little high throne who don't hear you. No, God said, I'm so personable, I get down there with you. You want to quote Psalm 23 all day, but don't realize that when he says he's your shepherd, that means you shall not want. And if you're there in the valley, he's going to get down there with you. Somebody shout hallelujah. Well, here we go. We're in Numbers 20. He's dealing with all of this, and he falls on his face. Reality is, ladies and gentlemen, this God that you, do you believe that God is personable? Because the reason why we don't run to him, because we don't think that he cares. So many people have this false view of God because of how you grew up and what worldview you grew up under. Sometimes your denominational lines have blurred to you who God really is. Then for some of us, your worldview is that you didn't necessarily grow up in church, but what others have said about God has kind of shaped your worldview about who he is. So if your worldview being shaped in a particular place, if you're not the person that's going to actually go and see it out for yourself, then you're going to stay blinded.
Yeah. That's it. Come on.
Because in this today's world, they're trying to tell you Jesus is not God. He's just a prophet. Matter of fact, he's something that the Europeans made of, and he comes from the white man. Not realizing, ladies and gentlemen, how the word of the Lord actually existed in Africa way before colonialism. But if you stay ignorant, you're going to go by what people are saying in their worldview. This word didn't come from no colonial. It ain't come from that. Matter of fact, it was the apostles when they spread out, when the persecution came upon the church. They were able to go into places that the word has not come in. And God used persecution to spread them and put the word in the most, oh my God, and the word in the most places that they would not have heard of if persecution did not come.
Come on.
So your worldview is shaped. Oh, I have a mind of my own. Oh, do you? I'm going to just tell you the reality is, yeah, all of us got a mind of our own, but it's been shaped by something. And it's shaped by someone or people. Some people's worldview are shaped by what they see on their TikTok or Instagram. And all of that is what's shaping people's worldview. And all of that is coming inside your spirit. And guess what? With all of that going on, you don't know how to really get there for yourself. Because the reality is, ladies and gentlemen, God ain't hide and hid nothing about him to humanity. The things that man needs to know, let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you this really clearly. You and I could not handle all of what God is. And I'm going to prove it to you. You want to know how you came? Because guess what? When we pass on from here, those who are believers, we're going to receive, ladies and gentlemen, a body that is not longer corrupted by sin. And because of the sin that still remains in this body, that's why the body has to die so that we can receive our new form. What does that got to do with anything? It has everything to do with anything. Everything. Because listen, you really can't understand all things of God still with that sinful nature still lurking in the background. That's why the Bible tells us that we'll still be learning more of God. And we'll know him, we'll know Jesus by another name in heaven. Because in this reality, we needed to know him as that. But no longer is he, while he's our savior now in this present time, we have to know him by something else there. A greater revelation that we can't obtain now. In Numbers 20, lays on the ground. The Lord gives him instructions. I'm coming to a close. And so here we go in verse 7. Here's what the Lord tells him. The Lord appears to him. And he said, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, verse 8, here's what he gave him. He said, take the rod and your brother Aaron. Gather the congregation together. And here's what I want you to do. Speak to the rock before their eyes. And it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock. And give drink to the congregation and their animals. Now I have to teach you this. In Exodus chapter, 17, he gave Moses another instruction. And earlier, when they were back at this same place, 38 years ago, God told Moses to strike the rock. Ladies and gentlemen, the reason why he told them to strike the rock, because it is a foreshadow of who the rock of our salvation is. It is a foreshadow that he would be smitten before everyone. So the reason why God tells Moses not to smite the rock again is because that conclusion has already been made. For that time, he won't be smitten twice, only one time. Paul says once and for all. I gotta keep moving, because if I don't, this is gonna be great. Once and for all. When Jesus died, it was once, one time, for all time. He's not getting smitten twice. He'd already up, seated at the right hand of the Father, ever lives to make intercession for you and I. So he tells him, you're going to speak to the rock. Ladies and gentlemen, there are certain times where God will have you to exert physical energy, and then there's other times where God will just have you to speak to things. Ladies and gentlemen, he's trying to show you that every time God does a miracle. See, the problem is we're looking for the last time. You looking for the last time. He did it this way, so I know he's going to do it that way. Huh? Oh, God came like this, so I'm going to do it like this. See, and then here's the problem. We think that we have to come alongside God to do something. God didn't want him to exert anything. He wanted to show, have the people see that by their word, life can come out of this rock. Ladies and gentlemen, the problem is with us is we're saying the wrong things and not the right things. That's it. We're talking about, we're speaking so negatively. How many of you, don't be ashamed that the first thing that comes to your mind is the negative before the positive. Some of us are very pessimistic, and that's okay. That's a part of your personality. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, there are times where even I'm like, this is going to go south. Yeah, this is looking bad. And the reality is, I'm already talking out the situation, never seeing how God can intervene in it. God's method of intervention for Moses in this time was for them to speak to this rock. Ladies and gentlemen, you are not to strike. You are to speak. Ladies and gentlemen, you are to speak to the very thing that it looks like nothing can come out of. You are to speak to certain environments and situations. Oh, is this called manifesting? No, it's not, because you don't manifest anything. It's God that manifests it himself. You do the instruction, God brings the manifestation. See, here's the reality, ladies and gentlemen, is that this new age stuff that they're trying to teach you about manifesting, and oh, I manifested that. You are arrogant somebody. And you're ignorant because you didn't manifest a daggone thing. It was only God who did it. See, the reality is, ladies and gentlemen, humanity for the longest time has been trying to take glory from God. Because we wanted to be that we had something to do with it. That it was what I did. It was the type of prayer I prayed. It was this that I did that accomplished this. God don't share no glory with no man. And then you realize why God ain't blessing your life is because you don't know how to direct the glory. Just because God uses an individual don't mean it was the individual itself that did it. Because it's unless God moves through the individual that then causes the manifestation, then it's nothing. God has to intervene. Here we go. And so he tells him to speak to it. What I've been trying to tell you all year, what distinguishes us as believers, is our ability to see and speak to those things as though they're not, based upon what God tells us. Because we can speak to a lot of things, don't mean it's going to happen. Oh, I hear the Lord say that he's going to do this, 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 and that, and then God's going to do this, this, and that. And you got to be careful of that sometimes, because we want to say the Lord said all this stuff like that. And the reality is, ladies and gentlemen, is that guess what? You got to be careful what you put God's name on to. That's why people are scared of prophetic stuff now. It's because people didn't say stuff in God's name, it didn't happen, and then it's like, oh, that's a lie. It ain't real, y'all. It ain't real. Come on, lift your hand. Y'all know I'm telling the truth in here. You got to be careful with that, because then that gives God a bad rap for something he ain't even sanctioned anyway.
Come on.
Then there's stuff that we want to talk to that we want God to do or make happen. That ain't going to be good for you. But he's saying, listen, your instruction is to speak to this rock. Now let's move forward, and we're about to wrap this up. Here we go. In verse 9, this is what Moses does. And I have to give you this. So Moses took the rod before the Lord as he was commanded. So he followed this part of the instruction. Here we go. Verse 10. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock. And he said to them, "Hear now, you rebels, must we?" Woo, you didn't stop. You done went wrong. Moses said, "Must we?" Meaning that he is speaking in the same breath, putting himself in the same breath as God. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. You want to know why you'll strike the rock? It's because you will allow the external things around you to get you out of character. You will allow external things to take you out of your character. Moses ain't never done this. Grief. Congregation. He's tired of it. 38 years he's been dealing with this. And they got him to the point that gets him out of his character. And he now puts himself in the same breath as God. Must we bring water for you out of this rock? Frustration, ladies and gentlemen, can get you to the place where it's though that you are so frustrated where you let anything come out of your mouth. Especially with people that are around you. I've been doing all of this stuff for you and da 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 da. And you allow the people to take you out of your character. You allow the situation to take you out of your character. And doing things that you would have normally never done, but because out of frustration, you do it.
Yeah.
Out of frustration, you make a move that set yourself behind. And you allow other people to take you out of what was meant for you. Because of frustration. And if I don't give this to you, if you don't hear this today, the reality is you'll make certain things. I'm here to make sure you get to where you're supposed to go. I'm here to keep your eyes focused on Christ, that you keep your attention on Jesus, because you're too close to allow certain things to take you out. Are you hearing what I say? Verse 11, we're coming out. Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod. Water still came out of the rock. Well, water man still came out of the rock, but he was going to pay for that decision. God allowed the water to still come out because he cared more about his people than trying to show a point to Moses, but he was going to do something to Moses. Verse 12. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe. Because you did not believe. Who? Me?
Yeah.
What are you talking about, Moses? He had faith. He didn't put his faith in the instruction. Because you did not believe me. You didn't believe me enough to hallow me, meaning there's other translations that will say to sanctify or to allow my holiness to be seen. How I'm set apart from all the other gods, and you have me looking like I'm just an angry God. You have me looking like I'm an angry God because I'm having you smite the rock. You did that out of frustration. You didn't do that out of belief. You did that to prove a point to them, to show that you're just as powerful as me. There are certain things, ladies and gentlemen, we do to prove a point. And that point being proven is costing you because of your stubbornness. He said, don't strike the rock. Because you did not believe, because you didn't allow my name to be hallowed in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land. People thought that Moses' generation wasn't going into the land, but Moses was going to go in there with him. He was going to go in with the next one. This is why Moses didn't enter the land. This is the reason. Somebody asks you in a trivia question, that's the answer. Seriously.
Yeah, yeah.
We have a family feud in the next couple weeks. That might be a question. I'm just trying to hear you. I'm just trying to help y'all out, give you some answers. Because you did not believe me, you shall not enter in. Ladies and gentlemen, everything that comes down to what keeps you level-headed in all situations is what you believe. What is it that you believe, and what is it that you believe about God? Do you believe that with this instruction that he will do what he said, that if I speak to it, it will happen?
Yeah.
I don't think that it wasn't that he didn't believe that God can do it. Moses saw so many miracles. It's the fact that he was so frustrated that his frustration, his anger overclouded his rightful judgment.
Yeah.
Because he did not believe, he missed it. Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Brandon Hill, the senior pastor here at Transformation Christian Fellowship. Listen, at if any moment, if you feel led by the Spirit of God to give, you can text TCF1 to 94000. Again, you can text TCF to 94000. Your generosity transforms the lives of those not only in our community, but those who are around the country. Giving to our outreach partners and being able to do different things in the community will definitely be able to allow us to touch the hearts with your seed. God bless you as you give, and remember, transformation starts here. Give me verse 13. Here he says, this water was Meribah. Here it is. Meribah means contention, strife. It was at that place. If you don't make it out of the wilderness of contention, you will miss the promise. Ladies and gentlemen, all I'm trying to get towards you today is, if you strike the rock when you've been told to speak to it, you have now entered Meribah, the place where Moses did not listen to God. The place where your contention won and you lost. Because guess what? Moses was meant to see the promised land and step into it in life, but he only saw it in death. What are you saying, Pastor B? If you go in the New Testament, Moses appears on the Mount of Transfiguration. He's in the land of Canaan, on top of the hill of Mount Transfiguration. He sees it, stands in it at that period of time, but he was supposed to see it in life. What am I saying? There are going to be some people that are going to miss certain promises in this lifetime because they did not believe that God could do it through them. If you strike the rock burning, you won't see the promise. You will rob yourself because if you allow externally what has happened around you. Pastor B, it's a recession. Well, if he's telling you to still give and be generous with your stuff, do what you're going to do. Come on. Oh, Pastor B, I'm still dealing with this. My child and da-da-da-da-da. Well, did he tell you to start speaking differently about your child? Well, yeah. Well, got to do what you got to do. Oh, man, my husband, my wife, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You got all of this stuff to say. Well, have you changed your tone? Well, no, I change your tone. Stop striking when you need to be speaking. And not just because sometimes you can speak and strike in your words. He's saying, listen, speak differently. Because if you want to see different results, you need to start speaking to it. You so scared. Well, do you believe that God has given you the word to say? Do you believe that this word is even true? Or your worldview is that man wrote it. It's an error. Man is not so wise to write the prophecies that are in this book that has came to pass. I don't care how many translations we have. The translations are trying to help people to understand what was originally written in Aramaic, Hebrew, and Greek so that you can have a closer understanding. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the most scrutinized book that you'll ever see. Most scrutinized. But what is it that makes this thing still so powerful? Because the word of God is living. It's active. It's alive. And guess what it does more than any self-help book? It pierces through bone and marrow. Gets into the deepest places of you. And makes you conform to the will of God. What did God do, ladies and gentlemen, to make us conform? He starts speaking through his word to tell you who you really are, that you are a king, that you are a queen, that you are heir, a joint heir with Christ. What did God the Father do? Start speaking different things about you so that you can come into who you really are. Why did God reveal himself and speak through his word so that Jesus could be revealed to you? Ladies and gentlemen, that you would conform and shape your life under what this is. But if you believe a man wrote it, keep on believing that. You know, ladies and gentlemen, they had to rewrite transcripts on this. If they messed up any little thing, they had to rewrite it over again so it can stay as close as possible to its original language. Well, the King James and all of this stuff, God used the donkey. God will use anybody. He don't care who it is. God don't care. Only man does. God didn't use different other people throughout the world to do what he wants because he's God. And God don't have to owe nobody nothing. Because guess what? He's the creator. You're the created. Ladies and gentlemen, you strike that rock and you're striking yourself out of what is meant for you. Come on. Speak and only speak to it. Stop listening to the voice of the enemy and speaking what the enemy wants over the situation. What are you talking about, Brandon? Anytime you allow certain things to infiltrate your mind that is opposed to the will of God and the word of God, you've allowed the enemy to now control your tongue. Yeah. the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I came that you may have life and have life more abundantly. And ladies and gentlemen, just because I'm in the wilderness of Zin right now, just because I'm in Kadesh, just because I'm at this, what we call the place of contention, doesn't mean that the contention that I may have with God is going to get me, oh my God, is going to keep me from what God has for me. Because ladies and gentlemen, TCF, I come to tell you that we're ending a cycle and God is bringing us out of the place of a wilderness and God is bringing us into a place of full promise. God is bringing you out of a place of contention where you feel like you've been fighting and fighting and scraping and scraping. Your wandering season is coming to an end and you're about to step into what was already ordained. And now when you step into it, your character can keep you in the promise. Now when you step into it, you won't squander it because God, oh my God, humbled you and put you in a place of humility in the wilderness. So if you can trust me in the wilderness, you can trust me in the promise. You can trust that I'm able to keep you. I'm able to sustain you. And guess what? Instead of just giving manna, you're about to eat off the fruit of the land. Look at somebody and say, if you speak to it, you're going to eat off the fruit of the land. Because what he was trying to show them is that the rock is yielding water. And guess what's going to happen when you get in the promised land? The natural things on the earth is going to yield its fruit unto you. Look at somebody and say, speak. Hallelujah. Yeah, closed mouths don't get fed, Zion. You got to open your mouth and you got to speak. Thus saith the Lord, over my body this cancer will not defeat me. I gotta leave this alone. It's 12:12. I'm ready to go home. But the reality of the matter is, you gotta speak to it. Because if you refuse to speak, you are not allowing the life of God to intervene. So that people can see God's holiness. So that they can see God's holiness and marvel. What is it about you? It's that my God, the uncreated creator, the ancient of days, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Rapha, provided himself in this situation. That's who it is. I'm going through grief, but guess what? He's the God of all comfort. And then I feel myself going low. I gotta remember, God, you can comfort my broken heart. The Bible said he's near to the brokenhearted. When you feel anxiety coming, the Bible says be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, make your request made known. Say when I feel overwhelmed, I can say, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. You better change your language. Look at somebody, say, change your language. Say what needs to be said by the word of God. Hallelujah. They say that the door is looking like it's closing in my face. But you need to say what the word of God and say, God, when he opens a door, no man can shut it. I don't care if the devil tries to come at me. He can't shut what God has ordained. Because whatever God has ordained, he's got to see it all the way through. Because the Bible says he's not like me, that he shall lie. Neither is he the son of man, that he shall repent. If there not shall he not say a thing, and don't do it. You better see that he's good on his promise.
Stand your feet.
He's good on his promise. He's good on his promise. Look at somebody, say, I'm crossing over. I'm crossing over. Be not dismayed, for whatever be time, God will. Yeah. Yeah. God will.
Stand to your feet. I'm done. My foot's hurting. I gotta go. Listen. Don't strike the rock. Speak to that rock. I found myself in here yesterday. I was praying, and the Lord told me, don't strike that rock. You're too close to strike now. Hallelujah. I'm too close to strike now. Have I not provided manna in the wilderness, Brandon? Yes, you have, Lord. Have I not survived you when you saw things were low and I came through in the last minute? Have you not seen my favor? I said, yes, God, I've seen it, sir. And don't strike it now. Oh, yeah, my soul, yeah. Greg, don't strike that rock. Gregory, don't strike the rock. Yeah, not my soul. Don't strike it now. You better keep saying that I'm healed. Cancer don't got me. I got it. I am my soul. I have it. Hallelujah. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of his peace is upon him. And by his stripes I'm healed. Hallelujah. One way or another. Healed is still healed, fam. Woo, glory. One way or another. Don't strike that rock. Don't strike that rock. You just got to speak to it. In your own way, begin to speak right now over what it is. Come on. Closed mouths don't get fed. Believing in your heart, whatever it is that you want to strike so bad, you better speak. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Don't you strike. Glory, Jesus. Come on. It's too quiet in here. You open your mouth. Ain't nobody, if you worried, if you so worried about people, then you don't care. Ain't nobody looking at you. It's for you and God in the room. Hallelujah. I speak to it now, God. Under your instructions, we decree and declare your people shall live. We decree and declare they will not get weary in well-doing today. In the name of Jesus. 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 Quentin, come here. Come here. In the name of Jesus, I decree and declare, stand on behind them, Dom. In the name of Jesus, you shall not strike the rock. In the name of Jesus, I decree and declare, whatever you speak to, God is going to make ways in the wilderness. In the name of Jesus, before you leave here, I'm sending you home with a blessing to impart upon your people at Destiny Changers. And you're going to tell them, you're going to speak. We're going to speak to it. And the way, oh my God, in the floodgates of heaven are going to release. It's opening now in the name of Jesus the Christ. In the name of Jesus, I decree and declare that God, you're going to, that by the instructions of the Lord today, that you're going to not just speak to the church. You're going to speak to the career. You're going to speak to those decisions. And God is going to give you what your heart desires based upon you following in line with what he wants in your life in the first place. In the name of Jesus Christ. And I decree and declare that whatever season of frustration, God is, if you just don't give up in this place of contention, the contention is not meant to take you. It's meant to push you forward and zoom and shoot you out like an arrow into your destiny in the next season that you're in. So by the power of God, with your permission, I lay my hands upon you. And I lay my hands of this grace and this anointing, that the power of God, that when you speak over their house as the priest, that everything in that area of Chicago, everything on the south side, everything on the west side, it has to yield its fruit in the name of Jesus. You stand in prayer. Oh my God, you stand as the priest. You come here with the green hat. You mind? Come here. Brother, I wasn't going to do this, but I wasn't going to do this at all. I don't know you. I wasn't going to say anything, but I was hearing it ever since you came into the door. This message was for you. I don't know what place of contention or whatever like that is in your life right now. Don't you strike that rock. Don't allow anger and frustration to make you make decisions that are only, that don't make you make permanent decisions for something that's temporary. God is going to do great things in your life. But it's right here, this wilderness place, where if you hear God and you do what God tells you to do right, you will step into a season in your life of seeing the goodness of God like never before. And I don't know who this is pinned up against. I don't know what it is. And it's like, man, I'm putting my hands on this, I'm putting my hands on that. It just don't seem like it's happening. Don't seem like it's working. Why give this a try? Don't seem like it's working. It just seems like that at the moment. There's something God is trying to get you to learn. God wants to stretch your faith. And what you're going through right now is a stretching of your faith to really see if you really believe this. And will you outlast the season? And I declare unto you, and I'm only saying this based upon, I only say what I hear the Lord telling me to say to you. If you persist and allow him to stretch your faith, I guarantee you by the authority of Jesus' name, God is about to give you a level of favor and clarity and wisdom that when you put your hands on the things that you do next time, you will see success. Are you hearing what I say? Are you following what I'm saying? I just see it over your life, man. Just don't quit now. Don't quit. His word that he's hidden in you so that you will not sin against him. Don't make the mistake. You're too close. Don't make the mistake. And I hear this too, and I hear this so well. There's going to be external forces, and they've been trying to kind of take you to make a different decision. And the Lord said, you got to be careful of who's, careful of lending your ear to those who are trying to talk you out of what is promised to you. Are you hearing what I say to you? Be careful of what they're saying to you. Be careful of giving ear to them. You give ear to them because you have a level of respect for them. But just like us, you have a level of respect for certain people, don't mean they're giving you the right wisdom for the season you're in. And hear me good, young man. I'm trying to tell you, if you listen to God and give him and give your ear to him, I'm telling you again, I'm going to say it again, you will see the favor of the Lord operating in your life amongst your family, and that is what's going to bring people to salvation in your house. That's even what's going to bring those of your friends unto salvation into your house. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Lift your hands if you mind to heaven. Do I have permission to lay my hands on you in the name of Jesus? Pray, church. Thank you. you're not saved, I offer you Jesus in the room today. If you don't know Jesus, you don't leave out of here without knowing him today. I offer you Jesus. You don't got to jump through hoops. You don't got to do nothing crazy. All you got to do is believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And you are saved today. He died on the cross. He was buried. He rose again just so he could have a relationship with you. In the name of Jesus. So I offer you that today. If you need a church home, listen, I think this place is pretty cool. We'd love to be your pastor. We'd love to serve you. But guess what? I'm more important that you make it into the church of God. Because many people who go to church don't mean that they're making it to heaven. You got to believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. Let me make this very clear. Salvation is not inherited. I don't care if your mom was saved, your father was saved. That don't go to you. You got to believe it for yourself. And you are saved. So with everybody who's watching online and those of you who are in person, I want you to repeat this prayer after me with every eye closed, every head bowed, so no one feels left out. And if you make this decision today, I want you to fill out the connection card and we're going to show you the next step of salvation. But everyone, repeat this prayer after me. It's not the prayer that makes you saved. It's what really comes out of your heart. Jesus knows your heart today. Jesus knows your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sin. I acknowledge that you died on the cross, that you were buried, that you rose again, and that you ascended to the right hand of the Father. For me, today, I want to make you the Lord over my life. I'm not going to do this by myself another day. I need my Creator to guide me. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. If you said that prayer for the very first time, fill out that connection card, text that number on the screen in Jesus' name. Listen, if you're glad you're saved and you ain't striking the rock, come on, give God the greatest praise you got in the room. Give God the greatest praise you have in the room. Give the God of greatest praise in the room, yeah. That's offering time. We're getting out of here. I love you. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to the Get Transformed podcast. We hope that you would subscribe so you can continue to be empowered by the latest message. For more information about Transformation Christian Fellowship or Pastor Brandon Hill, visit our website, transformationchristianfellowship.org, or download our free mobile app on the App Store or Google Play Store. If you would like to support this ministry, simply text TCF1 to the number 94000 or visit our website. We thank you for your generosity and for listening to the Get Transformed podcast. And remember, transformation starts here.